Taking a look at physical fitness now with Dustin Maher, who is one of the area's leading physical trainers, works at Supreme Health and Fitness in Madison. He trains over 35 clients a week, teaches 11 classes specializing in fitness for moms and core training. He's the creator of Fit Fun Boot Camps, and he's an ACE certified personal trainer. He received his bachelor's degree in kinesiology exercise science at the UW-Madison. So really pleased to have him back. We had him on, oh gosh, a month or so ago, and we had lots of calls and decided to get him back here again and talk a little bit more about physical fitness. And certainly, if you have some questions as we move along today about training, we hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Give us a call or send us an email, and we'll be happy to get you on with your question. And Dustin, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate getting you back here. Well, there was some testing at the Mayo Clinic that showed that people who engage in regular exercise in their 50s or 60s, that could be a way to stave off mental decline.
Yep.
That's something you've heard of.
Yeah, I've definitely heard of it. And I think from any age, you can definitely improve your mental capacity by exercising, not only from just thinking clear in the mind. You know, when you exercise, a lot of times that reduces stress, and stress can really cause you to not think clearly. Mm-hmm. But also as you get older, as you know, probably know, you know, the mental capacity usually decreases. But they've been, you know, finding that that mental capacity, you'll be able to think better, quicker, clear, be able to recall things better. So I definitely would agree with that.
Yeah, they were reporting that exercising five times a week brought a 65% reduced risk of developing a mild cognitive impairment.
Sounds pretty
amazing.
Good.
That is amazing. Well, tell us about your training, and you've got the Fit Fun Boot Camps, and explain what you've got there with the boot camps.
Yeah, the boot camps, they just kicked off this past week. I'm so excited for them. They've started with a bang. But basically, boot camp, the idea for boot camps originated, I would say, more 5 or 10 years ago. They really became popular, especially in California. And it was just an alternative way for people to exercise. A lot of times they were done outside. They were usually done with a personal trainer or instructor guiding them. And using more functional, which means doing everyday movements that you would perform, when it was picking up the groceries or picking a kid up or climbing a ladder. You know, things that in everyday life you have to perform, we do similar movements in a boot camp style class. There's different formats of them. Mine personally are not militaristic. We're not screaming at you and and punishing you, you know, if you're late or if you're not doing things right. But we're more of a supportive, motivating, encouraging, educating type fitness program.
And so, and you're working with others, so...
Yes. I have other trainers as well.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of the people who sign up for the boot camp, you're not there
certainly.
By yourself.
I'm not by myself. Yeah, we have a group of usually 10 to 15 boot campers that sign up for a six-week period, and we meet three times a week, and the times are 6 in the morning and 5:30 p.m., and all that's on madisonbootcamps.com website. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's about 15, 20 people, and I never knew exercising at 6 in the morning could be so much fun, but I've been feeling great by it.
And 6 o'clock is actually, it's a great time because, you know, people have to go to work.
Exactly. It's only 45 minutes long. I give you 90-minute results in 45 minutes at the fraction of a cost of a personal trainer.
And let's talk about a little bit about trainers and what do you look for when you go out to look for a trainer?
That's a great question because there's so many trainers out there. I just heard a story about a guy who actually got his cat certified as a personal trainer. So it's not very hard to become a certified trainer. There are a few that are more reputable and recognized. I'm part of ACE, which is American Council on Exercise. I'd say that's one of the top three. ACSM is another one, American College of Sports Medicine. And there's a few other ones as well. But just because they're certified doesn't mean they're necessarily a good trainer. I wouldn't necessarily go with a trainer who has the best body either, although I believe that a trainer should be practicing what they're preaching and should have a decent, you know, physically fit body that you want to achieve. But things I would look for if you're in a gym setting, just watch how they interact with other clients. A big part of a personal trainer is the personal attention you do get with them. So if they're a great trainer, but you just can't stand the personality and they don't mix, that's not going to be the person for you too. So I would find someone who is pretty busy, who has a lot of clients because they're probably doing something right if they're in demand. If you are not at a gym and you're just kind of cold calling different trainers, I would interview them and ask for their background, exercise science kinesiology degree, which is what I got with my four-year program, is very good to have. You definitely will have learned a lot more, at least book knowledge, on the subject of fitness and the human body, but also the real life experience that you get. You can learn as much as you want in books, but until you actually experience training someone, it's a lot different. So someone with a few years of experience is also good to have.
Give us a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234, or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. You specialize in to some extent, in fitness for moms and be expecting moms, or
it's more mothers after they've had their child. I found that it's a very under helped population. You know, they get their kids and then basically they just spend their whole day either working or working at home taking care of their kids, and they just don't get that time for themselves, and consequently, you know, not only the traumaticness of giving birth can wreak havoc to a person's body. The habits that they can develop after that are pretty bad, and just decreases their self-esteem and their self-worth, which creates, you know, they're not able to take care of their kids as well as their husband, and they're not as happy. So I've really found a lot of pleasure and satisfaction working with that population.
One of the questions or one of the comments I've had from women who have had children, and it relates to, well, I lost most of the weight, but I've still got that little pouch in the front that I can't seem to get rid of.
Yes, a little muffin top pouch is what I like to call it. It is, you know, it's every person's different, but some women, you know, they may have it the rest of their life a little bit. It just depends on how your pregnancy is, how fit you are before your pregnancy. The skin does stretch, and depending on the genetic factors, you may not have stretch marks. You may have stretch marks, but there's certainly, you can always improve the stomach area. And I've got many clients, many females who actually have a better stomach now than before their kids. But there are some that little stubborn muffin top seems to shrink but never go away.
I was watching Dancing with the Stars last night on TV with my wife, and she was saying, those women have all had children, or, you know, many of those women have had children. How do they get their stomachs that way?
Yeah, just a lot of work. I mean, they probably were in pretty good shape to start with, and this, you know, that's their life. And the dancing sure takes a lot of energy and calories too to burn. I know a lot of them lose weight during the show, but you know, the biggest thing to do is start young and stay fit and healthy the whole life. But it's certainly not too late to start after you've had your child.
What are the kinds of exercises or fitness things you do for situations like that, for women who have got a pouch too?
Yeah, basically, a lot of the women that I see don't do resistance training. And so that's the first thing that I would put them on, is some sort of resistance training program. Because a lot of women, they just do cardio. Maybe they're just doing walking or maybe a little bit of running. But really strengthening, you know, the core muscles through different exercises, as well as just strengthen your legs, your arms, your back, will definitely increase your metabolism and help you burn some calories. And then, like I said, just strengthening the core will help tighten that area up. And then depending on how much loose skin is around there, it'll depend on how tight and how good the stomach actually looks.
Yeah.
And a proper diet is always the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's the one that sometimes people fall down on the most. And you mentioned core training. And let's talk a little bit more about core training, what that is about.
Yeah, core training, you know, it's been kind of a buzzword the last 5 years or so. And it is very, very important because really a lot of the injuries we experience are in the lower back area. And a lot of that is not necessarily due to weak lower back, which it could be, but a lot of times it's the weak abdominal muscles, and especially the transverse abdominal muscles, which are the deep ones. They're kind of like a corset that goes around your waist. And if you see like weightlifters using a weightlifting belt, I'm personally against those in general, because that deactivates those deep abdominal muscles. God gave you your belt already. But helping, you know, strengthen those will help keep the stomach pulled in and support the back. I mean, there's a lot of exercises out there. And if you want to, you can go to YouTube. I've got a bunch of videos put up there. You just search for my name, Dustin Maher Fitness. And I've got about 30 videos of some maybe some new, unique exercise that you've not seen before. I just bought myself a nice camera, so I'm going to keep posting a bunch of videos up there. I'm going to go crazy with that. So subscribe to the YouTube place there, and you'll get a lot of fitness, good fitness exercises and tips from there.
And you can join in at 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. We have some folks online, and we'll get to them in just a minute here. But there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about, I think it was an orthopedic surgeon and consulting a physician to the Philadelphia 76ers basketball team. And he says there are a lot of adults that are taking their fitness workouts to the extreme. And you can go the other way.
You can, yes.
And they're stressing. And that's lead to that. That's leading to stressing joints, straining backs, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can take things too fast. Some people, they forget that maybe they're, you know, in their 40s or 50s and haven't exercised for 30 years, and they think they're a teenager again. So starting out a little slower and progressing things. I've also noticed a lot of injuries are due to repetitive motion. So I've seen a lot of runners with knee problems, especially. You know, and that's just one of the things that's, you know, it's tough to avoid if you're putting a lot of miles on the body. But certainly, you know, watching for your form, good form is extremely important into not injuring yourself and just kind of taking it slow and easing yourself into it.
Taylor and Barron, we'll go to you. Thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I'm 20 years old. I'm in college. And a couple years ago, my freshman year, I was in an exercise class. And I had popped a vertebrae out in my back.
Okay.
And I've gone to the chiropractor a couple times throughout the past couple years to try and get it put back in. I was wondering if you had any exercises or stretches or anything that could help me get it back in place.
Tell you what, we will ponder that. I'll let Dustin Maher think about that, because we'll take a quick break and then we'll be back and answer your question. And we've got lots of callers online. We'll answer those questions as well. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Talking physical fitness today with Dustin Maher, personal trainer, works at Supreme Health and Fitness in Madison, has his own website as well. What's that website again?
I've got a couple of them. Dustin Maher Fitness, M-A-H-E-R is my last name, and Dustin with a D, DustinMaherFitness.com, as well as MadisonBootCamps.com.
MadisonBootCamps.com. And we talked a little bit about the boot camps, and I want to ask you about another boot camp, but we had Taylor from Barron online. Taylor, are you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Thanks for holding.
And you had you popped a vertebrae, and it might be hard for Dustin to give you a lot of advice. Dustin, do you have some questions or a question for her?
Yeah, how high up is the vertebrae that you popped?
It's pretty high up. It's between my shoulder blades.
Okay. Yeah, it's very, very tough for me as a personal trainer to prescribe exactly. Have you got it checked out with a doctor?
Mm-hmm.
You have? Yeah, I mean, row exercises, I'm not so sure how well that would do for you.
Okay.
But, you know, any sort of one-arm dumbbell row or seated rows where you're basically contracting the shoulder blades together and squeezing them can strengthen the muscles around there. But that's a tough one. I would say check with a physical therapist more so.
Yeah, you better check in with a physical therapist on that. They can come up. I would certainly highly recommend that. See a physical therapist, and they can do an evaluation of you and come up with exercises that are specific to your own area. So please do that, Taylor. And thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Rob in Green Bay is up next. Rob, hello.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Dustin.
Hello.
I have a son who is going to be going to college next year, and he's interested in this profession. And could you recommend or suggest any four-year colleges that in the Midwest or in Wisconsin that, you know, other than Madison, that might offer this type of training or something similar?
Right, definitely. Well, I'll stay true to my alma mater here with Wisconsin. It's a very good, especially UW-Madison is good in research. I think they're probably known the best for their research. And physical therapy are their two top things. So if he's looking more for that, I would say UW here is very good. Lacrosse is one of the top programs, honestly, in the nation for more personal training, more hands-on, that kind of stuff. Whenever I'm reading through my literature of, you know, scientific journals and stuff, they're quoted a lot. So I think lacrosse is one of the best ones as well. And I don't know too much outside of that within Wisconsin area.
But lacrosse would definitely be one to look into.
Yeah, I would look into lacrosse.
All right.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Rob. By the way, you can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call or email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Jim in Waupun next. Jim, hi to you. Let's see.
I put on about between 3,000 and 4,000 miles on my bicycle every year.
Yep.
I bike outdoors when I can, weather permitting, mm-hmm. and then I have a trainer indoors. And my question is, I use some of the Chris Carmichael DVDs for the indoor work in the wintertime, but I would really like to find somebody who could help me put together a training regimen that would help me identify my, you know, lactose tolerance levels, my appropriate exercise heart rate. I have a number of questions about training so that, you know, riding long distances, like, say, 60 or 70 miles a day, and then doing that back-to-back with aerobic hard-pounding riding for about 14, 15 miles. I'm not exactly sure how to do what I should be doing.
Yeah, I would talk to someone who trains almost like an Ironman triathlete. Or someone like that. If you want to get VO2 max tested and that kind of stuff, there's clinical settings that might be the best for you. Most health clubs will not offer that.
Okay, what I have a problem with is actually identifying a gym or an entity where I could have that done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where do you live?
Waupun.
I live in Waupun, but I go to Madison fairly frequently, so.
Yeah. Boy, I don't know. Just off the top of my head, I'm not aware of anyone. I know at Supreme we have a few trainers who are phenomenal Ironman instructors. That's what they do. And they can look at form and technique and different things like that. I don't think we have the capabilities there to actually, you know, do VO2 max and things like that. I personally don't specialize much in endurance cardiovascular training or bike training.
Okay, are the folks at, what is the name of the organization you just mentioned?
Supreme Health and Fitness.
Supreme Health and Fitness. They might be able to tell me where I could go, though, right?
I would say so, definitely.
Okay. Do you have a number for them or anything?
I don't, but you can go to supremehealthfitness.com.
Okay, supremehealthandfitness.com.
Not and. Take away the and. So supremehealthfitness.com.
Oh, no and.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you. I really
you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. I'm not sure. I know UW, the
Sports Med might...
Yeah, University of Wisconsin Sports Medicine has a program, and I would bet.
You know, that's a good point. They might offer that there. So that would be another good place to check out UW Sports Med.
Nora in Madison's up next. Hi, Nora.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi. Well, okay. I'm 40, actually 46. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, I graduated from college.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And during the 4 years that I was in college, I put on 60 pounds. It was an overachiever of the freshman 15. anyway, prior to school, I used to compete in hunter jumper with horses. And I really want to get back to it, but I'm finding it very difficult, first of all, to get the weight. Well, obviously, in 2 weeks, I can't get the 60 pounds off, but to stick to my original plan of 1,200 calories. And I'm not finding it difficult to walk, so I'm still walking about 3 miles a day, and I've picked up riding again about three times a week, about 40 minutes a time. What else would you recommend or suggest, and what do I need to watch for?
Yeah, well, first question is, what were you doing differently before you went to college that you're not doing now?
Before I went to college, I was riding about 6 days a week, probably. And, you know, I was 4 years younger, but basically I was 60 pounds lighter, so I was doing a lot more well, not necessarily more motion than I am right now, but than I have for the last 4 years.
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know, 1,200 calories is about as low as you want to go. You know, if you're having trouble sticking with that, you know, I would increase your fiber content, for one thing, your protein, to try to make you feel fuller. But 1,200 calories, you know, may be a little bit too low if you're being quite active right now. You know, you could try maybe 1,500 calories, which 15? Would help. 15 maybe, around between 1,200 and 1,500.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, starting out with walking is great, but as you know, get in better shape, you'll be able to do more. So last time I was on, I talked a lot about burst training, which is a technique. It's kind of like interval training where you increase the intensity cardiovascularly for a short amount of time, and then you bring it back down. So maybe for you right now, it's a fast walk for a minute or two and then slowing it down, then another fast walk, or maybe you're able to slowly jog for a little bit. But going past the comfort level and pushing yourself, because, you know, when you are more fit, you're able to burn more calories. And you're probably finding that out right now that, you know, as you're heavier right now, it's harder to do things. And therefore, you're not being able to have a high intensity level. So you got to start somewhere, but I would say start to increase the intensity. And then also to incorporate some weight training into your regimen. Now, when you're riding horses, you said you're riding horses before that?
Right.
So you're getting a lot of leg work, inner thighs, and probably some quads and calves. So I would do some sort of resistance training program as well.
Okay.
You know, 2 to 3 times a week, total body exercises. And again, you can go to YouTube and search for my name. And there's a bunch of videos of compound exercises, which is, I'm a firm believer in compound, multi-joint, multi-muscle, total body lifts. And there's a bunch of them on there that just require a set of dumbbells, or some just require your body weight. And
very
you can check out those. So.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. You've been a great help.
Thank you, and good luck.
Good luck. Thanks for calling. Tim in Wausau is up next. Tim, hi to you.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Dustin.
Hello.
Last time you were on, you just mentioned again this burst training thing.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could comment a little on whether this is a heart healthy thing to do, or is it stress your heart to do that? You know, I'm used to thinking of cardio or distance training as being a thing that's healthy for your heart, and I was just wondering what the story is on burst training relative to stressing your heart.
Yeah, definitely. No, burst training actually is a great way to strengthen the heart. So is weight training. Actually, you can get, you know, in a circuit training fashion where you're, you know, doing exercises where you're lifting and then you're resting for only a few seconds to do another exercise. Mm-hmm. Both of those can actually strengthen the heart muscle very similarly, if not even better maybe than the long distance endurance exercise. And you'll find that your long distance endurance will improve as well by doing the shorter burst stuff. I mean, you know, if you're a very sedentary person and you just go into this burst, maybe that's not quite the smartest thing to do.
Uh-huh.
But you know, if you go to the doctor, they're going to put you on a stress test that basically is a burst, you know, and you know, you're getting your heart rate up as high as you can. But of course, they got medical staff there watching you closely. So, it's pretty safe for most people. You know, if you're concerned about, you know, heart problems, you know, you might want to get a stress test and get cleared first.
Sure. Okay.
But no, it definitely does a great job at strengthening the heart and making it very healthy.
And could you give some kind of a gauge as to, you know, when you're trying to max yourself out for this brief period of time, for this 1 minute,
yep.
How do you gauge
the intensity level?
What do you use to gauge that amount?
Yeah, there's two different ways that are pretty popular. If you have a heart rate monitor, you can use that. So I'll just tell you how to do that if people out there do have that. You can estimate your heart rate. Now, the traditional way was 220 minus your age was your max heart rate. So if you're 50 years old, be 170 is your max heart rate. Now, we're finding that it's a good estimate, but it's within about 15 beats either way. So it's not super accurate, but that can kind of give you a rough estimate. And going to maybe 90% of the max heart rate is a pretty good way to do it. So maybe if it's, you know, if 170 is your max, going to 150, 155, getting it up to there, and then bringing it back down to, I don't know, in the 120s or 130s. Another way to do it that's probably even easier is perceived exertion. And I like to use the scale from 1 to 10.
Uh-huh.
And basically 5 would be a fast walk. It's pretty comfortable. You can talk and stuff. And, you know, 7's getting difficult. moderately difficult. 8's a pretty difficult. 9 is getting towards your max, and 10 is basically you couldn't go anymore. And I would aim for like a 9 to a 9.5.
Wow, okay.
Somewhere in there for those.
And of course you need to gauge that for what 9.5 you can do for 60 seconds, not for 10 seconds.
Right, right. And I mean as the time, you know, from 20 seconds to 30 seconds is going to continue to get harder for you because you get more and more tired. So by the minute, by the 60th second, or if you're doing a 30-second burst, by the 30th second, that should be where you're at a level 9 or 9.5.
Oh, okay. So not get it up there and then keep it going.
Right, exactly. You just want to get it up there and then bring it back down. And the sign of cardiovascular fitness is one of the best ways is how quickly can you bring your heart rate down. If you took an elite athlete and an overweight person, you know, they could get the heart rate up to pretty much a similar beat per minute. But it's bringing it back down that the elite person will just cream the other person. And so yeah, doing the bursts where you just increase it, get it up to, you know, your level 9, 9.5, and then bring it back down to like a level 5-ish, and then do it again and do, you know, between 5 and 10 of those.
Bring it down to 5 for like last 30 seconds, is that?
No, like for like a minute, if you're, for the resting period.
Oh, so for the resting period, you're doing the 5.
Yeah, well, you bring it down to like a perceived exertion level. So whether you're just standing, if you're running and you go for a minute and you go all out, so you're tired after a minute and then rest for a minute or two,
mm-hmm.
and rest long enough so that you are pretty much back to normal, maybe back to a 4 or 5 on the perceived exertion scale.
Okay. Alrighty.
So...
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Also, email us at talk@wpr.org. And we did get an email from Brent, who is a male, 65 plus, 5'10", 175 pounds, in pretty good health. Wondering what are some basic exercises to strengthen the lower back. He has some lower back pain and has been told to strengthen his lower back. So what are some basic kinds of exercises?
Yes, great question. Also, I would encourage you to strengthen the abs too, not just the lower back. But a couple exercises you can do, and I'm going to post some of these within the next week on YouTube so you can see them. But the first one's called the bird dog. And basically, you're on your hands and knees. And then you're lifting your opposite arm and leg up in the air, kind of creating a flat tabletop. And you just try to hold that position for 5 to 10 seconds and then bring it back down, set the hand and the knee down, and then go to the opposite side. So that's a great one you can do. Another one is called, I just call it the swimmer. You're laying on your stomach and you have your arms out in front of you. And you just kind of lift your arms up and down, kind of like you're flutter kicking. And then you can also kick the feet as well, keeping your legs nice and straight. And you're trying to slowly lift the chest up and the thighs off the ground, and that'll work the lower back. Now, if you're feeling too much strain, only do your upper body or only do your legs first, or just don't lift and kick quite as high. So those are two good exercises for strengthening the lower back in particular. Couple exercises for the abdominal area. Like I talked about before, the transverse abdominal muscles are so important, and most people don't know how to recruit them. So here's a trick, tip that I'd like to give all you guys for strengthening those deep abdominal muscles. And I saw one study, I don't know how accurate this is, but it said if you practice this technique, you can, within 3 weeks, shrink your waistline 2 to 4 inches. Now, I think there's a little truth into this, but it has nothing to do with losing fat around it. But basically, it's how you portray, how you show your abdominals off. So basically, what you do, I call it the vacuum. So you exhale all your air out of your lungs. So you just breathe out all your air out, and then you hold your breath. And as you're holding your breath, you suck the stomach in, pulling the belly button in towards the spine. So you should feel a deep contraction all the way up from your sternum all the way down to that pubic bone, and you're just going to hold it in there for 5 to 10 seconds. Once you hold it in there, relax, breathe a little bit, catch your breath, and then do it again. So that's called the vacuum. And what it's teaching you to do is strengthen and to recruit those deep transverse abdominal muscles. It's like they run, I guess, parallel with the floor, with the ground if you're standing up. So they go around your waist, just kind of like a belt would be. And so that's how you strengthen those. So that's what I would focus on is
the
transverse.
How often would you do, or how many
times?
This
is something that I don't think you can overtrain. So you could, you know, I tell people to do it while they're laying in bed. You can do it from any position you want, standing up. You know, if you're sitting at work, if you're driving in the car, I would try to do 5 to 10 reps, 15 reps. Just do it when you think of it. You can do it daily. And what you'll notice is your stomach will start to beat smaller because it'll continually be pulled in. Kind of like if you're on the beach or if you're wearing that dress, you're kind of sucking the stomach in. It's kind of that same philosophy. And once you do it enough, it just becomes natural and you naturally keep it pulled in a little bit more and it's not protruding quite so much.
Very interesting. He also wondered about a series of strengthening exercises for the total body. He walks about 30 to 45 minutes five times a week, and but has done no strength things.
Yeah, total body exercises are the way to go right now. And finding exercises that work pretty much every muscle group in your body in one movement is the most efficient. It burns the most calories. It builds the most muscle. It has the most positive hormonal changes after your workout. And again, there's a lot of them, and I'll refer you back to YouTube because I've got tons of videos on there of total body exercises that you can look at. But you know, your squats, your lunges, your push-ups, your presses, your rows, all of those are working large muscle groups. And I've got a couple of them that I've created that incorporate many different exercises into one movement.
Hmm. Christina in Glenwood City is up next. Hi, Christina.
Hi there. I love all types of physical activity, and my question for you is I'd like to walk, and sometimes when I'm walking, I'll jog, but I'm not a jogger per se, so I'm wondering if you can recommend a shoe for someone who walks and will break into a jog.
So a cross trainer type.
Yeah, I think, I don't have an exact brand necessarily, but I think any sort of cross trainer would be good. I definitely would get something a little bit more than a walking shoe.
Okay.
And, you know, even like a New Balance, I guess I wasn't going to say brands, but New Balance, you know, a lot of people really like their footwear. It's very okay. comfortable. And, you know, you can walk with it, but you can also jog with it. Do you live in the Madison area?
No. I live in a small town in Wisconsin.
Okay. There's a place, I'll just give a plug out to Fleet Feet, but they do a great job looking at kind of your walk and your structure and your gait, and they can, you know, recommend the right shoe for you. But I would say, you know, something that's going to give you a little bit of lateral support too, in case you, you know, if you're going to roll an ankle or something like that, if you want to go a little bit more off-road than just, you know, walking on pavement. And just something that feels comfortable for you. That's the big thing. That creates some arch support is also important.
So you're recommending evaluation before a purchase?
You know, I would say so. I mean, there's good shoe places out there that will look at your gait. And that's individualized to the person, so I can't tell you exactly specifically.
Sure. The name of the place again that you recommend?
I like Fleet Feet here in Madison.
Oh, okay.
They put you on a treadmill and they have you walk and run. They'll tell you which one's the best.
Okay. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And Ziggy in Plymouth, hi to you.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to know, I've been doing that activity you call the burst thing, and I'm doing it, but I'm wondering if I'm not doing it as many times as I need to. I usually warm up for 30 minutes, and then I'll do this that burst thing.
Yep.
I'll go for a minute as fast as I can go. And I'm an older woman. That's another thing. I want to find out what my heart rate should be. I'm an older woman. I'm 61. And
okay.
So out of the next 30 minutes, I usually go, you know, whatever that means in 30 minutes, 1 minute of as fast as I can go, and then 3 minutes as slow as I can
yep.
go. Am I really doing that right? And, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Do you feel any difference yet?
Or that's still the idea of the pear shape. It starts from the top down.
do you feel better at all yet or not too much difference yet?
Well,
how long have you been doing it for?
I have a greater stamina. I walk a really, when I'm doing that as fast as I can, it's a fast race walk.
Right, that's totally fine. Well, getting back to your max heart rate question, you said you're 60, what are you?
61.
61. So, you know, again, using the 220 minus your age, that would be around a 160. Now, again, that can really vary. It could be a 150 to a 170. But let's, you know, for argument, let's say 160 would be your max heart rate approximately. So you might want to try to get, you know, if you're healthy, get it up to maybe say 150 around there, and then let it recover to, after 3 minutes, it should be able to get down to, I don't know, 110 possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Every person's a little different, but I would say your warm-up is a little bit too long even.
Mm-hmm.
30 minutes for a warm-up is pretty long. I recommend 5 to 10 minutes of warming up. But then 30 minutes of burst is I would say that's perfect.
Great.
I usually recommend 20 to 30 minutes and a little cool down at the end.
And good luck. Thank you very much for calling. And Dustin, thank you so much. And give us your websites again.
Yeah, it's Dustin Maher Fitness, M-A-H-E-R is my last name, .com. And then madisonbootcamps.com. And I just want to put a plug in. Every Saturday morning at Elver Park, we have a free boot camp. I have a bunch of my trainers there helping out with it. All you got to do is bring a few non-perishable goods for the local food shelf. And
what time is it?
It's at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Every Saturday, we kicked it off last week with over 30 people, so they had a great time.
Thanks, Dustin, and thank you for listening, and stay with us. Lots in store.